Today is the 15th day of February. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Global Campfire. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. It is wonderful to be here with you today. Every day it's a wonderful day. Coming to you from the Sea of Galilee again. We're here for several days, exploring this kind of northern region and following a lot of the life of Jesus, who did his ministry in this area. But today we'll be going northward up onto the Golan Heights and exploring some of that territory. And yesterday we explored some of the kind of interior Galilee, the central Galilee. We'll talk about that. We'll share kind of the goings on of that a little bit later, but we are here now to take the next step forward. It's a brand new, shiny, sparkly week. So let's simply pay attention to that. Take notice of that. Observe that. And kind of huddle up, gather around. I guess we're looking out over the rolling hills of the Galilee now. And this week is out in front of us. We always try to set some intentions here. One of those intentions is that we won't live as if everything is happening to us. That life is just flying at us and all we can do is react. Because we're out in front of it now and we have this margin and we're choosing to happen to life instead of it happening to us. We're making some decisions about the posture of heart that the scripture is instilling in us, and then we will choose to live into it. And so we have these well-worn, imprinted things all the way from our childhood, and we have these well-worn ruts of reacting in certain ways to certain kind of things that happen. But we're choosing in advance to put a certain category in between us and our reactions, and that category is called wisdom. And that is the buffer between us and the chaos that we can whip up in like 30 seconds flat and destroy the week, destroy the day, destroy those that we love around us. Instead, like, we just take a deep breath here. We're gonna live with wisdom this week. And then we'll get to the end of this week together and we'll huddle up and we'll look back. Let's have a great week of growth and maturity. This week, this day, as we begin this day, when we get to the New Testament, we will begin the second of the four Gospels, the Gospel of Mark, and we will talk about that when we get there. It's a brand new week, so this week we will read from the Evangelical Heritage Version. And back out into the wilderness, Exodus chapters 39 and 40. From the blue, purple, and scarlet material, they made finely woven garments for ministering in the holy place, and they made the holy garments for Aaron, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He made the special vest from gold and from blue, purple, and scarlet material and fine woven linen. They beat the gold into thin sheets and cut it into threads so that they could work it into the blue, purple, and scarlet material and into the fine linen, the work of a skilled craftsman. They made two shoulder straps for the top, one on each side so that the vest could be fastened together. The decorated sash, which is attached to the vest, was made just like it, of gold, of blue, purple, and scarlet material, and of fine woven linen, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. They took two onyx stones and mounted them in gold settings and engraved on them the names of the sons of Israel, like the engraving on signet seals. They mounted them on the shoulder straps of the vest as memorial stones for the sons of Israel, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Bezalel made a folded pouch, the work of a skillful craftsman. He made it with the same workmanship as the vest. He made it of gold and of blue, purple, and scarlet material, and of fine woven linen. It was square, 9 inches by 9 inches, when it was folded double. They mounted on it 4 rows of precious stones. The first row was carnelian, diamond, and jacinth. The second row, agate, sapphire, and emerald. The third row, beryl, jasper, and ruby. And the fourth row, topaz, onyx, and turquoise. The stones were mounted in gold settings. There were 12 stones, corresponding to the names of the sons of Israel. Each one was like an engraved seal with the name of one of the 12 tribes. They made braided chains of pure gold for the pouch. They made 2 gold rings for the pouch and attached the 2 rings to the top corners of the pouch. They put the 2 braided gold chains into the 2 rings at the top corners of the pouch. The other ends of the 2 braided chains they attached to the 2 settings, and then attached them to the shoulder straps on the front of the vest. They made 2 gold rings and put them on the 2 lower corners of the pouch, on its inside edge, which is toward the vest. They made 2 more gold rings and attached them to the 2 shoulder straps of the vest in the front, close to the bottom, where it is joined to the sash of the vest. They tied the rings of the pouch to the rings of the vest with a blue cord, so that the pouch was kept right next to the woven sash of the vest, and would not swing out from the vest, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The robe that was to be worn under the vest was the work of a weaver. It was all blue. It had an opening in the middle of its top for the head. It had a woven binding around the opening, like the opening of a collar, to prevent it from tearing. For its hem, they made pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet material. They put the pomegranates around its hem with gold bells alternating with them. A gold bell, then a pomegranate, a gold bell, then a pomegranate, all around the hem of the robe that was worn when ministering, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. They wove the tunics of fine linen, the work of a weaver, for Aaron and for his sons. They made the turban and the small pointed turbans of fine linen, and the underwear was made from a special kind of finely woven linen. The sash was made of finely woven linen and blue and purple and scarlet material, the work of an embroiderer, just as the Lord commanded Moses. They made a medallion of pure gold to serve as a crest and engraved on it, like the engravings on a seal, "Holy to the Lord." They put it on a blue cord to fasten it to the turban on the front, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. In this way, all the work on the dwelling, that is the tent of meeting, was finished. The people of Israel did everything exactly as the Lord had commanded Moses. They brought the dwelling to Moses, the tent with all its furniture, its clasps, its boards, its crossbars, its posts, its socket bases, the covering of ram skins dyed red, the covering made from hides of sea cows, the special veil, the Ark of the Testimony with its poles, the atonement seat, the table, all its utensils, the bread of the presence, the pure gold lampstand, its lamps, that is, the lamps to be set out in order, all its vessels and utensils, the oil for the light, the golden altar, the anointing oil, the fragrant incense, the screen for the door of the tent, the bronze altar, its bronze grate, its poles, all of its utensils, the basin and its pedestal, the hangings of the courtyard, its posts, its sockets, the screen for the gate of the courtyard, its ropes, its stakes, all the equipment for the service of the dwelling, that is, the tent of meeting, the finely woven garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons to minister in the priest's office. So the people of Israel did all the work according to everything that the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses inspected all the work, and he saw that they had done it exactly as the Lord had commanded. So Moses blessed them. The Lord spoke to Moses. He said, "On the first day of the first month, you are to raise up the dwelling, the tent of meeting. Put the Ark of the Testimony in it, and screen the Ark with the veil. Bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be on it. Bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. Set the golden altar for incense in front of the Ark of the Testimony, and put the screen in the doorway to the tent. Set the altar for burnt offerings in front of the entrance of the dwelling, the tent of meeting. Set the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar, and put water in it. Set up the courtyard around it, and hang up the screen of the gate of the courtyard. Take the anointing oil, and anoint the tent and everything that is in it. You shall make it and all its furniture holy, and it will be holy. Anoint the altar for burnt offerings with all its utensils. Consecrate the altar, and the altar will be most holy. Anoint the large basin and its pedestal, and consecrate it. Bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting, and wash them with water. Put the holy garments on Aaron, and anoint him and consecrate him, so that he may minister to me in the priest's office. Bring his sons and put tunics on them. Anoint them, as you anointed their father, so that they may minister to me in the priest's office. Their anointing will give them a permanent priesthood throughout their generations." Moses did so. He did everything exactly as the Lord had commanded him. And so, in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, the dwelling was raised. Moses raised the dwelling. He laid out its socket bases, set up its boards, inserted its crossbars, and raised its posts. He spread the tent over the dwelling and put the cover for the tent above it, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the testimony and put it into the ark. He set the poles in place on the ark and placed the atonement seat on top of the ark. He brought the ark into the tent. He set up the special veil to screen the ark of the testimony, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the table in the tent of meeting on the north side of the tent, outside of the veil. He set the bread in order on the table in the presence of the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the lampstand in the tent of meeting opposite the table on the south side of the tent. He lit the lamps before the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the golden altar in the tent of meeting in front of the veil. He burned incense of fragrant spices on it, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put up the screen for the entryway to the tent. He set the altar of burnt offering at the door of the dwelling, the tent of meeting, and offered the burnt offering and the grain offering on it, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He set the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it with which to wash. Moses, Aaron, and Aaron's sons washed their hands and their feet there. When they went into the tent of meeting, and when they came near the altar, they washed, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He erected the courtyard around the tent and the altar, and set up the screen of the gate of the courtyard. So Moses completed the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tent. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting, because the cloud stayed over it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tent. throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tent, the people of Israel would move forward. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they would not travel until the day when it was taken up. For in the sight of the whole house of Israel, the cloud of the Lord was above the tent by day, and there was fire in the cloud by night, throughout all their journeys. Okay, so as we were talking about just a second ago, well, minutes ago, we're moving into new territory, the second of the Gospels, a chance for us to kind of start the story over again and enjoy its beauty. The Gospel of Mark is before us. Most biblical scholars agree that Mark is the earliest of the Gospels that was written, and kind of gets us this chance to hear the first written version, to hear how the story was first told. So right off the bat, we should say Mark was not one of the 12 disciples. He wasn't an apostle. Actually, he was basically a long-term disciple of the apostle Peter. So we first see him show up in the book of Acts, which we haven't got to yet, but we'll see him show up in the book of Acts. He's known as John Mark, and he lived in Jerusalem, and it appears he came from a fairly wealthy family. His mother's name was Mary. She had a big house. She had a servant named Rhoda, and Mary had been an early believer and opened her home to the early believers. There is some church tradition that holds that her home may have been the place of the upper room. We don't know that. There is some church tradition around it. And this is obviously where the Holy Spirit was poured out on the early believers after the ascension of Jesus. So Mark was around the formation of the church all his life, even as a boy. Then the Apostle Peter was captured by Herod. We'll read this story later. He was going to be executed by Herod, who had put other Christians to death, and it seemed to please the people, so he planned to execute Peter publicly. But the miraculous happened. An angel came and freed Peter from jail, and it was to Mary's house, to the house of John Mark, that Peter first came. And all the believers were there praying earnestly for Peter, and that prayer was answered. So Peter came to John Mark's house. Rhoda, the servant girl, came to the door, saw Peter, slammed the door in his face because she can't believe it's him. And that's the story that we'll come to, but that kind of gives us a little context. This is who Mark is. So Mark had been around the gospel his whole life. He has a cousin who's named Barnabas. Barnabas was a dear friend and traveling companion to the Apostle Paul. Mark went with Paul and Barnabas on Paul's first missionary journey. And if we will remember, just several months ago, last year, Jill and I and Ezekiel, we were chasing down all of these locations throughout the country of Turkey and then into Greece. And so this is Paul's first missionary journey. So we see that Mark, or John Mark, has a bit of a pedigree, has some credibility in the early church. And in the church tradition, he later becomes a disciple or companion to the Apostle Peter. And so he travels all over with the Apostle Peter and is serving as his interpreter in Italy, especially in Rome. And everywhere that they go, Peter's obviously sharing the gospel of Jesus. So everywhere that they go, Mark is hearing the story told over and over and over through Peter's understanding and his voice. And Mark remembers this. He's heard it a bunch of times everywhere that they go. And at some point, he's asked or he decides to write it down, so people can remember all of the history that Peter's giving everywhere that he goes. And Mark eventually does this. And so, if this is true, then in a real way, what Mark is recording is what Peter was preaching. It'd be kind of like the gospel according to Peter. Most do agree Mark is the writer of Mark. Mark is written in pretty basic Greek. I've heard some scholars say it's kind of like fourth grade level, like understanding. So it doesn't have all its grammar straight. It doesn't have all the stories like perfectly illuminated like we will see in the Gospel of Luke. But most scholars do agree this is the writing of Mark. And it was probably written in Rome. Lots of people have lots of opinions about this. Peter has historically been understood to have been martyred under Emperor Nero in Rome, crucified upside down. And many, many scholars then believe that this, the Gospel of Mark, is the first account of Jesus written, and that this is the first of the Synoptic Gospels. And we haven't really talked about that yet. The Synoptic Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we'll probably unpack that a little bit more another time, but the Synoptic Gospels, they are very, very similar in story and content. In some cases, word for word, exactly the same. In other cases, like, they're the same story with more detail, maybe in Matthew for prophetic purposes, or more detail in Luke for more investigative, like, understanding. But they really share the same themes and stories. And it is truly believed Mark is the first of the Gospels and the first of the Synoptic Gospels. And so, with all of that, we begin the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 28. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is how it is written in the prophet Isaiah. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way for you. A voice of one calling out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He preached, "One more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. "You are my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with you." The Spirit immediately sent Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels were serving him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. "The time is fulfilled," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the gospel." As Jesus was going along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, since they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat, mending the nets. Immediately, Jesus called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Then they went into Capernaum. On the next Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching, because he was teaching them as one who has authority, and not as the experts in the law. Just then, there was a man with an unclean spirit in their synagogue. It cried out, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked the spirit, saying, "Be quiet. Come out of him." The unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions, and after crying out with a loud voice, it came out of him. Everyone was so amazed that they began to discuss this with each other. They said, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He even commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly through all the region of Galilee. Psalm 35, 1 through 16. David's Defender, by David. Lord, oppose those who oppose me. Fight against those who fight against me. Put on your armor and shield. Rise up to help me. Wield a spear and block the way of those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. May those who seek my life be disgraced and put to shame. May those who plot to harm me be turned back and dismayed. May they be like chaff driven by the wind. May an angel of the Lord drive them away. May their path be dark and slippery. May an angel of the Lord pursue them. Without cause they hid their net to catch me. Without cause they dug a pit to trap me. May devastation overtake him before he knows it. May the net which he hid catch him. May he fall into it to his own destruction. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord. It will delight in his salvation. All my bones will say, Lord, who is like you? You rescue the poor from the one too strong for him, the poor and needy from the one who robs him. Malicious witnesses arise. They ask me about things I do not know. They repay me with evil instead of good. They rob my soul of happiness. But when they were sick, I dressed in sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. My prayers returned unanswered. I walked around mourning, as if mourning for a friend or for my brother. I bowed down, dirty with ashes, as though mourning for my mother. But when I stumbled, they were happy. They gathered together. Yes, attackers gathered together against me, though I did not expect it. They ripped me and were never quiet. Like profane mockers, they gnashed their teeth at me. Proverbs 9, 11, and 12. Because through me, your days will be multiplied. and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise to your own advantage. But if you scoff, you alone will bear the consequences.
Hey, DAB, it is Refined by the Fire in Ohio. I was calling to check in and, Brian, just your reminder how alive the Bible is when we actually engage with it, when we actually listen to what it's saying, and that double-edged sword that it is in our hearts and our minds and our souls to clear out the things that God doesn't want in there. While we can just read it like a book and put it back on the shelf and it would collect dust just like a novel, but when we actually engage it and we participate in it and obviously allow the Holy Spirit to do his role, it is such a beautiful and marvelous masterpiece, a true letter of love as it was intended to be. So thank you so much for that reminder. I am out here praying along with you guys, celebrating with those who are celebrating, mourning heavily with those who are mourning, lifting up our kids, our marriages, and of course, this fabulous trip that we get to go along on yet again, and looking forward to the Whatever This Is with Jill and Brian, and hope you all are well. I will check in again soon. Love you all.
I'd like to lift up some more prayers today. I'm finishing up January 31st community prayer around 2:04, soaring on eagle's wings. Lord, I just pray for Kendra. I believe that's her name. She has kidney stones. She's a young person. Forgive me if I get all the details wrong. Lord, you know what's going on with this young girl. I pray, Lord, for her family. I pray, Lord, that these kidney stones that are genetic in her body for her condition, Lord, that you will just break them up. Allow her not to have pain. Oh, Lord, when our children are in pain, it is the worst. It just is. We just don't know how to help them, and they're just writhing in pain. It's so horrible. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you allow Kendra to have an ease in her spirit, allow her to get through this, allow her to be healed of it. We thank you, Lord, for helping this family and for giving them wisdom in what to do. Lord, I also want to pray for Nathan, Lord, I just pray for him and his situation, and we thank you, Lord, for your peace, and we embrace this journey for us. It's hard to do, but thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Alex, Soldier for God in Missouri. I'm calling February 10th. I have a big prayer request for my friend T in Pennsylvania. He's been a childhood friend of mine since kindergarten, but after high school I've lost touch with him, and he's been in my heart off and on the past couple years, and he just reached out to me. And to spare the details, it's been a rough road. There's been a lot of mistakes, a lot of bad things that happened to him, and his family's pretty broken up at this point, and he's by himself, but God, thank God he has a friend who's helping look out for him. He's listening, he's questioning not his faith specifically, but how to move forward. I'm praying for him, and I'll do whatever I can to help him, but God can do more than I can. So please pray with me for him, that God might use his spirit to reveal himself more, to comfort him, to guide him, to strengthen him and to refine him. I pray that he can find good... Well, he has work. I pray that he can reclaim his life as a child of God. I pray that he can see his children. I pray that he can restore connection in his family if possible. But all this is under God, not me or him. But he's ready to change, and he wants to do better. Please, pray with me. Pray for all those who are lost.
Hello from beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio. This is Daniel Johnson Jr. I want to thank you so much for praying for me, offering comfort to me. And many of you have reached out in person through Facebook, etc., to just share your thoughts, and sometimes even more than just thoughts. I thank you so much for all of that. You know, as we've been going through Exodus this month and with the Israelites in the wilderness, Brian's also been sharing about, you know, that we're in our own wilderness oftentimes, you know, and this really resonates with me since, you know, the wilderness that I'm in right now includes the loss of a job and the loss of my mom. So as I'm working through grief recovery, I see myself going to these short-term energy relieving behaviors, these patterns of sin that, you know, I've gone to help alleviate anxiety, alleviate, you know, to try to soothe whatever it is that I'm enduring. And these things that I've used for so long to cope with the anxiety that I feel. And it's just like the Israelites, even after seeing the glory of God working in their lives, it seems that they're so quick to turn. I've been seeing myself, you know, so easily, quickly to turn back toward that. I'm hoping and praying to embrace God's grace and mercy and all the love that he has, the more deeper as the Holy Spirit works to heal, repair, and comfort, and do the work of the woundedness, repair the wounded brokenness in me. So let's pray. Come, Jesus, into all of these areas of our lives when heal the brokenness and the hurts. We allow you in, reminding us of your comforting presence. Holy Spirit, help us with any lack of faith, trust, and surrender. Through your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. From beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio, God bless you. Daniel Johnson Jr. saying, make it a great day.